There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman with another woodland escape. Well, hello again. It's Cabin Country. I'm Fudd Klugman.
And I am Bjorn Lloydsted.
And we're halfway through December here of 2020, and it's been pretty mild so far. We had first dusting of snow on Sunday that we've had since, well, that November 20th dumping we had.
Right.
Where we, that was the weekend I pulled in the dock.
Yes.
And got home thinking I'd have a nice Monday off, but nope, it was, snow came
shovel
down.
Shovel it up.
The first, but then we haven't had much since then.
No, it's laid way off, and it's, you know, listening to my mother-in-law talk about the wonders of a brown holiday. And she's just fine with that, you know, having a hard time getting around a little bit, so.
Yeah, although.
Not bumming her out too much, and easy to get used to, but.
Well, I kind of wonder about the brown. I mean, it started snowing on Sunday, as I mentioned, and I felt the urge to go on a jog because every once in a while I feel lazy. And
sure.
And so I was running in the snow, and it seemed like half of Oakdale was out walking their dogs and had their kids out. And it's been a mild start to December. And so I thought everybody was like, well, it's time to get into the holiday spirit.
There we go.
So, I mean,
snow's coming down.
Did you do anything special yourself on Sunday?
Or? Well, it was the nephew's birthday party. So there was a birthday party in a backyard, and Vikings games were being broadcast both in the garage, and there was a computer set up outside near the fire ring. And I think a lot of people decided after the illustrious team went down by 3 touchdowns, well, maybe it's time to ignore the
game.
Let's just talk to family. The snow kept coming down, and it got a little thicker, and, you know, it was cool. It was beyond cool. It was cold. Let's not kid ourselves. It was cold, but it was light, kind of crumbly snow, just dust, you know, coming down. And, we stood outside and enjoyed the fire ring and conversation, and brother-in-law is always keen to do some ribs on the smoker, and it was
oh boy.
We lasted about an hour and a half, and then people started to get kind of frozen and said, okay, I think time to call it. But
it was pretty cold, like 25
yeah, it was
degrees.
Not real warm. I mean, the fire ring was good sized and well appreciated, we'll leave it at that. Nice dry firewood, and I've been to several fires this autumn and into this winter, and several of them watched it hiss and steam, and really, and they're it's, if the firewood's in the of the wrong vintage, you can kind of feel like, wow, the smoke's almost wet and just hanging on you know. And my brother-in-law's comment, I think I'll be hanging the coat back out in the garage for a while. But you know, truth be told, it was a nice dry stack of firewood, and it was the warmth was greatly appreciated as the snow came down. And it was a nice Sunday. I kind of forgot about it for a second. I was like, what did, oh, that's right, the birthday party. Yeah, we were outside.
Well, you know, since you mentioned the illustrious team,
yes,
I was just thinking that there's probably a reason that we don't really talk sports on Cabin Country here.
It can get a little frustrating in the great state of Minnesota.
And if I go beyond 15 seconds, you can stop me here. But we're in the home of the Minnesota Vikings football team.
Yes.
And though as a kid, when I was 10 years old, I got my Fran Tarkington purple number 10 jersey.
Blood purple and gold.
And I collected the cards, and I was a fan of watching football, completely dismayed at my parents, who at the time took these weekly little drawing numbers or something. It was like, I don't even know what they were called, but they had a chance to win money.
Right.
And half the time, they didn't care if the Vikings won or not. They just wanted their numbers to match so they could win a few dollars.
I've won $10 and a rib roast. How about that?
So as a kid, I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem right. Come on. But over time, I just kind of got disappointed, as a lot of us do. And to this day, I have a hard time sitting my butt down and watching a game without getting frustrated, and so I just generally don't like to watch it.
Well,
anymore.
And I think too, Fudd, you and I are both fairly, I guess, maybe antsy kinds of people. You know, I don't sit for long periods of time well, and that can be a real investment. And then if they're not playing well to boot, it's kind of like wow. And you know, I went to the U. For those of us in Minnesota, that would be the University of Minnesota, and I found that I've watched them perform in a very similar manner for many, many years. But I was like, you know, I can only stick with one, and I gave a lot of time and money to that university. So I'm gonna be maroon and gold, not purple and gold. I'm happy for the team when they're doing well, the Vikings, that is. But yeah, I focus more of my attention on the U, and you know, I mean, it's been better. I won't go into it ad nauseum, but I think I'm good for about a quarter of the game, even if they're just blowing it out. You know, oh my gosh, they're doing so well, and I'm like, yeah, and I got some chores I have to do, and I don't know, I'm just not great at sitting. I too, as a kid, I still remember a game with the Cowboys where there was the infamous pass interference call, and the Cowboys won, and I think that prevented the Vikings from going to the championship game. And then I was alive for the first Super Bowl they were in, which they lost. And then there were three more. And after that last one, I thought, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And shame on me, I guess, Fairweather fan, whatever you want to say. But yeah, it can be. Anyway, we're used to a lot of curious sports here in Minnesota. And, perhaps I should say curious outcomes. And anyway, so that was on, and promptly kind of went, well, they're down by 4 scores now. And
turn it off. I can't stand it.
They left it on. I mean, I'll give them, my in-laws and a lot of my friends who are fans of the purple will just roll with it, but maybe focus their attention more to conversation or, wow, the food turned out really good. You know, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of where it went. But yeah, snowing and the fire was greatly appreciated and a good diversion from.
And you said you were at a birthday party.
I was.
You know who else's birthday it was on Sunday?
I believe that would have been John Munson.
That's right. Who's John Munson?
John Munson. Who is John? Well, you know, a wonderful interview we just recently had. But, you know, in where I'm coming from and for a lot of people in the greater Midwest area, you know, a bass player extraordinaire, musician, you know, historian of music, but I would say more the performer, you know, just a phenomenal bass player and great songwriter and member of many, many acts over time. But for me, it's always Trip Shakespeare and Semisonic and the New Standards. And a great musician and a wonderful outdoors person and a great interview. So that's coming up soon.
Yeah,
I recall, Fudd. I mean, happy birthday, John.
Yes.
I know you said if we want to get you anything really nice.
And, oh, yeah. Just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we are well in the works of mixing that, and I think that's going to be the first podcast of 2021 of Cabin Country.
Yeah. John Munson, musical juggernaut that he is, and of course, we took all our time and focus on music to talk about his fishing.
Oh yeah, fishing, habits. Building a sauna.
Yes,
and his memories as a boy.
So I kind of hope on his Sunday birthday he spent some time really cooking his hide in that that backyard sauna, because he said that he was ready to go and he was very excited about it.
Right, right.
And ironically enough, I think that same day I got an email about some holiday offerings from the New Standard. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And I did, no plug here, but I did go on Bandcamp and purchase the holiday offering from the New Standards.
Another year gone by, another Christmas time has come and gone. Another mistletoe, another ho, 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 another Christmas song.
Maybe that's your birthday gift for me, John. I'm not sure. We've been enjoying it nonstop. So.
Oh, excellent. I have to download it myself.
Oh, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Always, always top shelf. So.
Yeah, so I kind of thought that that would be our next episode here, but some things have kind of happened in this last week.
Yes.
That
do I just, tell. I just thought do we'd. Tell.
Well, we heard from another fan.
Yes.
And. Got a short anecdote of this person's experience. His name is David Barnett, and he lives in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and he told us about a tiny cabin he's got in North New Jersey. And at first I thought, well, let's just read this at the front of John Munson's interview. Yeah. But I thought, no, this is going to spark, I think, some conversation with
here.
Bjorn and
indeed,
myself.
Indeed.
And so we're going to make this kind of the quasi end of the season, holiday season, last podcast of 2020 special.
Yeah.
Don, do you have any special music for that?
Don. Thank you, Don. All right. Well, so, on that note.
Anyways, I believe you've got, why don't you read David's email?
If you'll humor me, I will try to put a little life here to a letter from David Barnett from New Jersey. And I am curious, Fudd. I've got to, and maybe David can let us know through the wonders of email or something. I'm wondering where in New Jersey this cabin is at. I hear New Jersey, I think like Cape May, I think the Pine Barrens, I think all these interesting mm-hmm. places, you know, the Garden State. We always think New Jersey and we hear all the jokes from TV back in the 70s, Barney Miller and stuff. Oh, what are you, from Jersey? You know, all these jokes. And I've driven through New Jersey. It's a beautiful state. It's incredible.
Well, you know, and that it reminds me too of Tom Brown Jr. Anybody know who that is?
Yeah,
I'm guessing. He's the famous tracker.
Yes,
he's got several books out there.
Yeah,
and a few years ago, during my cabin fever winter months here in Minnesota, right. I just devoured like all of his books, thinking, "Oh, I'm gonna learn to track like this guy. It's amazing.
Yeah,
he can tell thousands of things by one little track." And
oh, very cool.
Well, he's from New Jersey, and. And had many tales to tell, so... Yeah,
well, there's a lot more to New Jersey than just big cities on the outskirts of New York City, you know? I mean, you can see from parts of New Jersey the Big Apple off across the water, but there's a lot more going on. And, David's got a cabin and sent us in this letter.
Let's hear about it.
He was more than kind to share, so if I hope to do it justice here, here's our letter from David. I've worked hard and been fortunate enough to acquire a one-room, three-season cabin on a great fishing lake in northern New Jersey. Admittedly, I'm obsessed with my cabin. When I'm not actually there, I'm thinking about it, talking about it, or searching online for ways to decorate it. Because of a busy work schedule, I really only have time on Sunday to enjoy the fishing and kayaking I love. The cabin is only a 45-minute drive, so it's easy to get there early and often. My biggest stressor, however, is that I have four kids and a wife that don't exactly appreciate the cabin the way I do. My wife insists she enjoys being at the lake, yet she prioritizes shopping for food and taking care of the children over my love of the water. Often, if I beg enough and wash enough dishes, I'll be granted a 4 or 5 hour time slot to go fishing on a Sunday morning. This is awesome. However, I certainly pay for it with the guilt, dirty looks, and snide comments I get when I return home. How I dream about the entire family being as excited and thrilled to spend time on the dock as I am. Then I'd be with my family, guilt-free and not needing to rush back home at some predetermined early hour. Alas, I will likely never achieve this dream of mine. To me, the cabin is perfect. Although it was built in the 1940s and is small, it is secluded and quiet. Fortunately, the previous owner filled in the outhouse and added a bathroom and running water. To my family, it's cramped, bug-filled, and doesn't have TV or Wi-Fi. For me, I love how the sun shines in off the lake and makes the charming wood floors seem to glow. Unfortunately, my wife and kids can't see past the field mouse droppings and dead centipedes that seem to fill every corner of the place. Every now and again, when the stars align, the wife and kids make the trip with me. Inevitably, I almost always regret it. Have you ever caught a fish from your dock only to have your 15-year-old vegan son lecture you about the ethics of eating animals? Do you even need to ask what happens when my 10-year-old daughter, Kira, finds a tick on her body? Heaven forbid my wife gets down to the lake and realizes she's left her sunglasses or book at home. This has ruined more than one afternoon for me. I do love my family, but not on Sundays in the summer. Fudd and Bjorn, I hope you and your listeners can feel my pain. Perhaps my family is the reason I love your podcast so much. It's a pleasure to spend time with those such as yourselves that are so passionate, excited, and nostalgic about life on the water, the outdoors, and small-town pleasures. Keep up the great work. Thank you, David Barnett, New Jersey.
That's excellent. And
it is.
When I read that, I did feel his pain. And I felt like somebody punched me in the gut. Oh, poor guy. Jeez.
Well, it's funny. I hear his letter and read it, and all I can think, I'm immediately into, well, you got mouse droppings. We could, you know, how do we mouse-proof the place? I mean, first things first. Let's go around the corners and, oh, wait a minute. This isn't my place, and I don't live in New Jersey. But
well, he said it was 1940. I think that's cool. I mean,
yeah, a lot of history there.
Assuming it's not decaying in any part of the wood or anything like that. But
dry rot.
I mean, there's more, let's face it, New Jersey probably has more history, old structures than here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I would think there's
a lot of
time
but that,
put
that,
into that.
Yeah, that I did write back to David, and I mentioned how I really lucked out with my cabin, I should say my dad's cabin at this point still, that my wife and kids love it up there. And I think one of the things that I attribute my wife's enjoying the place so much is that the first time I took her up 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
was the day after I proposed to her.
Oh,
in fact, okay. I double checked that, and I said, "Did that probably make an impression on the cab?" Yeah, I think I probably did. So I don't know if proposing to your girlfriend, wife to be, is good for breaking in a cabin that you want to impress them with, but
probably can't hurt.
It worked with us. I mean, you know, my dad has always taken good care, and had years ago figured out how to mouse-proof the cabin because I have stories, of course, going up there by myself, having some hot dog and chili or something by myself at the dining room, and then seeing a mouse run across the floor, and I couldn't help myself. I still, hey, what? Because I, you know, what I inherited from my mom is kind of a jumpiness around snakes.
Sure,
and my,
sure.
I'm not like my cousin Doug, who's pretty manly and swarthy. Oh, for
step on it.
it's just a mouse. I don't want to share the space with mice.
I hear you.
So I can understand that, but so yeah, I lucked out with having my wife just continue to love it. And I told David that with your kids, you know, some years, you know, and you're just starting out, it sounds like it, you know, having a family cabin.
Right,
so some years it's going to be like, we have to go there. But I think they're going to come to love it, you know, and love like, wow, this is another place we get to go to and hang out.
Right. And hang on to that, because you've heard my sob stories in years past about, you know, losing the cabin, you know, having kind of idealized dreams of what it was, because now it's gone. And the bottom line is, you know, once those kids are young adults and they're working and the real world is kicked into overdrive, boy, I think they'll have a much deeper appreciation for that one-room cabin, you know, in northern New Jersey, because what a great escape, you know, get away from it all. And, you know, when you're 10 to 15 to 18, you're kind of like, I want to be in it all. Why would I want to go away from what's going on? And the older you get, you know, the more work you're doing and the less time you get to call your own, boy, that becomes pretty precious.
I wonder if, too, David, if you're... And one thing to appreciate is that by the sound of it, you don't have to share it with like siblings of yours or or other people, because I know that time sharing with cabins is a very, at least in these parts, is a very common thing.
Yep.
And also the headaches that go along with sharing. In fact, even for me, I'll be texting with my brother. Okay, now I'm going to, Bjorn and I are going to plan to go up. And, well, I was going to take a buddy up that weekend. And then pretty soon we're having text fights.
Right.
And then my wife's trying to say, why don't, you know, can you call him and talk to him face to face? And once I calm down a little bit and we work things out, it always does work out. But that's one little benefit you have going for you, is that other than getting your family to warm up to a little bit, perhaps sounds like you don't have to fight with Brother Chuck to
allotments of time. When do we get to be there? Right.
You know what else I was thinking along those lines is your family cabin.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
You had some friends visit and they didn't seem to go away.
Yeah, we did have some friends come up and hang out, and it was small, so there was not room enough, but they were cool about, we brought our own tents and you got a huge backyard and it's fine, we'll just come in to use the bathroom and blah, blah, blah. All well and good. They stayed. They're going to stay a little longer on a Sunday as we packed up and extra key, you're good, don't worry about it. And, all right, enjoy yourself. We'll get that back at some point. And the week went by, and I thought, oh, man, we'll go back up now, and it's just us and plenty of space, and what do we want to do? And pulled into the driveway that Friday night, the next night. They were still there. Hey, good to see you back. I hope you don't mind we stayed. And you sure did. Another weekend. Okay, well, and I, you know, I was probably 13 or something, not super good at masking. Much.
What's
all right.
Bjorn all crabby about
it? What's his problem? I don't know. Well, and it really, I mean, in looking back on it, affected me very little, you know, other than the fact that there were twice as many people crammed around the dining room table or, you know, people fighting for time to get on the boat or whatever. It didn't matter. I mean, my bedroom, I'm the only one in there, you know, my folks are in their room, but it just, it added an extra layer of, I guess we're still entertaining. Ah, you know, which is a good thing and one of the reasons you buy a cabin and one of the reasons you have a cabin. But there are times you just kind of want to get a little selfish. And, you know, it's just back to the immediate family and just kind of doing our own thing. And
selfish is the word there, and that for me, because I think it was 2 years ago, the same brother had texted me and said, you know, we should plan more times where we can, both families can go up there at the same time. That would just be a blast. And I had to think for a couple hours on that, and I got back to him and finally said, sorry, I've really been kind of selfish when it comes to going up. I just like going up with the immediate family, with Molly and the girls. And and that really is true. It's like, it's kind of funny how, in my sense, going to the cabin is sort of like getting away.
It's an escape.
From others.
Right.
Call me an antisocial guy. Ah. But and sometimes, as you say, though, cabins for a lot of people are a place to entertain and invite friends and neighbors.
Absolutely.
And that's fun, too. But for me, anyways, in the last couple of years, it's like, no, we have precious little time. Takes 3 hours to get there.
Right.
And we've got a day and a half, maybe two, or you know, if we can squeeze in a third day, that's great. So yes, I like the solitude of just our family. And even going up with my dad has stopped a long time ago. And speaking of my dad and my wife, bringing them back into the conversation.
Indeed.
One of the early trips when we were up there with my dad, there was a spider on the wall or something, and Molly freaked out.
Okay.
And my dad's comment was, "Welcome to the woods." And my wife has not forgotten that. It's like, that's not what she wanted to hear. It's like, don't, you know, tell me welcome to the woods. So we continue to joke about that. So,
yes.
But
we are in the woods. You are absolutely correct. Another level from my youth going to that cabin on the Whitefish chain. Weekends could be a lot of visiting of extended family. I had an uncle that had a cabin several lakes over, cousins on another lake. In fact, it's called some people refer to it as the Cross Lake chain.
Mm-hmm.
Cross Lake seems to be kind of centrally located. Crossroads, I guess you could say, of a I believe a 14 lake chain. I mean, it's huge. But the beauty there was we could get together with, you know, relatives,
mm-hmm.
hang out for a while, maybe share some food, some laughs, a couple of tours around their lake on their speedboats, and well, that was a lot of fun. And then leave and go back to the cabin, and well, that was great, and it was a nice afternoon into evening, and now we're back in our cabin, and it's just us again. The Tonight Show's coming on, and they're mixing their highball, and I'm having yet another can of gold medal black cherry or something, and
right,
and just calming down, you know, it's no big deal. So there's a lot to be said for having your retreat, you
yes.
know, and I think, like David's talking about, he longs for it to be a retreat and a family retreat, and I picture a time in future where maybe some of your kids who are saying, the cruelty of eating a living creature, or, oh my gosh, look at this tick on my leg, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those same kids might be saying, well, if you don't mind, the weekend of the 23rd in June, I'd like to be up there with my people.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a problem, you know?
Well, that'll be the irony, right?
It'll happen, yeah.
It'll be like, I didn't want to go up with you, Dad, but now that I'm old enough to bring friends up there,
yeah,
you know, is it okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's funny. We talk about family and sharing time, especially if you, so many people do that in cabin country where they'll go in on a lake place with siblings, and
yeah.
And then you get into the whole rigmarole of, okay, you've got this weekend, I've got this weekend,
right,
that sister's got this weekend, blah blah blah, and then you get there, well, what did they do to this place? Oh my god, you know, and you, especially if you're the principal, you know, yeah. title holder or whatever, you're kind of like, wait a minute here, you know,
yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying the place, but, and I'm just thinking, in this case, David's in kind of the sweet spot. It's his,
yeah.
And, you know, he can invite whoever in he wants to hang out, maybe have some buddies up there for a kayaking fishing weekend or something, but it's his.
Right.
End of story, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I feel your pain, David, with the, I'm doing a bunch of dishes, now you're going to give me a Sunday to myself, or maybe we could, ideally we all go up, but if it's just me, maybe I get to make a pot of coffee and
yeah,
get in the kayak and grab my rod and wet a line and not have to worry about it. I mean, maybe that's an out too. Is like, well, I'll be going up Saturday and coming back Sunday night. And
yeah, it may take some time.
Right.
I got the sense too that you kind of have to earn it. Like, look at all hard I'm working, honey, on these chores, and the house is in good shape. I'm gonna just go fishing. Just, I mean, that's kind of nice. That it's
get away
45 minutes
the
away.
Hurly burly of the city and just
right.
chill out a little bit in the lake. Watch the sun glow off the wooden floors.
And watch out for the Jersey Devil.
Well,
that was another thing in the Tom Brown Jr.
Oh,
books.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The legend Devil. And lore of the Jersey Devil.
Not just a hockey team. That's right. That's right.
Well, later the same evening that we found the email from David.
Yes.
And reading this kind of punch to the gut story about how hard it is to get his family to
right.
to appreciate the cabin like he does, we got an Instagram message from his son.
Oh my.
The same son who yells at his dad about eating, you know, fish because he's a
lake
vegan.
Fish, right. Yeah.
So why don't you've got that in front of
I
you.
Do.
Why don't you read that to
I
you,
do.
Bjorn?
Kind of a shot back from the younger generation here. Hi, my father is a huge fan of your podcast. He listens every day while drinking from his favorite cabin country mug. He has a tiny cabin and loves going there. You'll hear more about it soon because he's writing in a story about it. I think we just heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So the holidays are coming up, and I was wondering maybe if you guys could make a personalized video for him or something like that. We're hoping maybe reading the tale and
oh, yeah.
talking about it a bit, you know,
I hope that's okay.
Hope that's
good
all
enough.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if you want to see our ugly mugs or not here, David. But anyway, he would get so excited if you guys did that. His name's David Barnett. Thanks for all you do. You've really given a lot of comfort to my dad during these hard times. Thanks in advance. So that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah, I was so surprised to get that right after reading this kind of hard story. And so,
well, and not knowing the age off the top of my head, I feel like.
Well, I think he's
15-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, vegan son. And for someone who's 15 years old, round about freshman, sophomore year
yeah.
in high school, that's pretty selfless.
Pretty thoughtful,
yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So good for you, young man. I appreciate your concern for your dad and his love for the Lake Place. And I think that time is going to come where you say, actually, I'd like to be up there too. You know, it's there's a lot going on when you're 15, but man, it
flies by, Fudd.
It's right.
It's so fleeting.
But it is. I mean, it's just crazy. And it's funny, with each passing year, I feel like, good Lord, who keeps speeding up the clock here? This is ridiculous.
He may never enjoy fish with you, David, but that's okay, because Bjorn himself, I mean, I ate the fish that Bjorn caught a couple years ago.
This is true.
It was delicious.
I did have a bite.
Did you?
And
I can't remember.
Yeah, you said, you got to try this, Bjorn.
I cooked it over the open fire.
I'll tell you what, I got to say, it was awfully good. And if in future we have any luck on the gull again, I think I'd be more than willing to make a meal of it, as it were.
Or maybe have two bites this time.
It was delicious. And I think gluten-free. I hate to be that guy. That's who I am, sadly, by nature. I just don't digest the stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I think I coated it with something that wasn't gluten-free.
Right, maybe almond flour or something along
those
lines.
Yeah, we could get that. There we go.
We've got plenty of that around the house. So I think too, Fudd, there, you know, for me, it was growing up a kid that was leery of fish in general. I'm not quite sure. I think because I'd take them off the hook and be like, they're all kind of slimy and cold and looking at me with those big eyeballs.
Right.
And it just, the taste always smelled like your hands. After taking, you know, a smallmouth or a panfish off the line and kind of going, it's kind of a clean water meets fish smell.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but I don't think I'd want to eat it. I'm certainly not going to lick this pumpkin seed I just took off the line. And why would I want to eat, you know? And my dad was a fan of the northern pike. He loved catching northerns and going to all the work of cleaning those out and getting around the Y bones and all that kind of stuff. And then, and to me, they always tasted kind of like the lake, you know? And I just thought, boy, you did all that work to get this, you know? And it was a personal hangup. I won't deny it. I mean, it was, so I'm past that now, I think, you know, if it's prepared well, as you did with the smallmouths,
well,
mighty
my daughter doesn't care for the fish I catch out of the lake. We eat plenty of salmon at home and tilapia, that kind of fish you can buy in the freezer section of your local grocery store.
Indeed.
And that's fine. That's a regular menu item each week on the Fudd family dinner. But when I say, oh my gosh, we're going to have fresh bass, she's like, but she just doesn't want to see it.
Right.
She doesn't want to see me carry it out. So that's kind of rubbed off of me a little bit. I go to clean the thing, and it's like, oh, sorry, big fella, but you're going to have to be sacrificed.
Your head's coming off.
You know, it takes me back to Thoreau, not to get all arty and literary here, but, you know.
Great literary.
He talks
moments.
In Walden about how he eventually just stopped fishing because it wasn't worth all the fuss and mess of eating the fish. So David Barnett's son would be happy to hear that. Oh, yeah, well, I think I'm interested in this Walden pond here and guy that doesn't want to eat fish.
All you got to do is head for Massachusetts and you'll find it.
That indeed. And I was just looking at some old home movies of the family and I on a trip to Boston, and we stopped off in Concord and stopped at Walden Pond. And
I made that trip myself.
It's kind of funny. You go down to the beach and there's lifeguards yelling at you if you're in the wrong area, and there's kids screaming, and it's like, it's kind of not the place to go to, I'm going to go in here and relive, you know, what I've been reading all these years.
You get yelled at by a lifeguard.
Well, my older daughter got, we were taking off our shoes and strolling into the wrong part of the cordoned off beach area, I guess.
You have to get off of there. And
so she, I think that kind of affected her trip a little bit. But no, we loved it, walking around the pond and going to the area. They have, of course, the replica of the cabin.
Yes.
But it's offset from where the original location of the cabin was. Mm. But you go there and they have a little plaque to where his fireplace was. And,
right.
Yeah, but it's cool stuff. I dug it.
Very cool.
I enjoyed it.
I wonder what he was eating once he gave up fish.
Well, he hoed beans, so he must have eaten a lot of beans. And
bean eater.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he goes on to say things like...
Explosive times.
All you need is water.
Walden Pond.
You know, in fact, he even said, you know, why dash the hopes of a morning by having a cup of warm coffee? He said.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Communism is that?
I don't know. I don't know about this
guy. Come on.
Well, I know for
my apologies to all communists out there. I can't face the day without a hot steaming mug of coffee or 12.
Hot coffee makes any time a pleasant interlude.
Well, you know, it's like, well, all right, I get what you're philosophizing about, but I'm going to enjoy my cup of Mitt's Coffee.
Right, that's right.
Now available in several flavors.
The brew that flew with the Great Northwest. Maybe he was gathering white oak acorns and roasting them over the fire and making his own version of Oastie.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Caffeine-free coffee substitute.
Yes.
They're supposed to be good. We'll have to give that a shot at some point. There's plenty of white oak around the Gull River. We could harvest a bushel.
That's true. We could
go
try
to work. Roast.
I've got to get oak. my small Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Yes, indeed.
She always eats the red acorns, the red oak acorns.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, just crunching away. And
strange.
And I keep Molly,
bitter,
my wife,
tannic.
Will say like, "Oh my god!" And I said, "Yeah, well, Bjorn says those are really
foul."
Hard to eat
unless
you cook them for
well,
a long
you know,
time.
I,
boil them.
I gained that information from the dear departed Yule Gibbons, who said, if you don't have nearly enough tannin in your diet, by all means, get after the red oak acorns, but they're just bitter and tannic and awful. The white, on the other hand, is very, very palatable, you know, clean, kind of almost nutty. Yeah, they're not bad. I've been known to shell and eat some raw white oak acorns while walking about.
For a snack or a meal.
Get out the Swiss Army knife and get rid of that hull. They're pretty good. I always cut the thing in half to make sure they're not wormy.
Any friends?
I don't need any...
Any lodgers?
Extra protein.
Mouth-watering.
No, they've been good. And I would imagine if we got a few and put them in a skillet over that fire, we could enjoy a comestible.
I'll have to give that a try.
Without a doubt. They were all the rage with the indigenous peoples. White oak acorns.
Oh.
Delicious.
Aren't they delicious?
Delicious, folks.
Well, I'll have to give it a try.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, speaking of things to eat and drink, I suppose we could take a short sponsor break.
Without a doubt.
Before I do, though, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up is that I've noticed, and I'm sure our listeners have noticed, that suddenly we've got different sponsors.
There are a few who
added to the beginning,
drifted in from
and that's,
far afield. Yes,
as part of our podcasting platform, they and we agreed and invited that to happen.
Indeed.
Supposedly, we're supposed to monetize from that. I think if we, each month we might take in 15, 25 cents from the plays we get, or so. I don't know how it works really.
I
thought, well, maybe
some point
got to get legitimate a little bit here.
Cash cow.
So I hope it's not too distracting to you folks. I tried to listen to our latest one recently, and it started, and I thought, what the heck? Do I have the wrong? What is this?
Oh no!
But no, that's we've.
Oh no!
So I don't want to berate it because hey, it's it's all good.
You bet. You bet.
And
things don't happen by accident, I guess, right?
That's true.
That is true.
But we will take a short break and we'll come back and talk about maybe some holiday appropriate things.
Fair enough. So Don gets to earn his keep finally. Take it away, Don.
Mitt's Coffee is proud to present its first seasonal roast for 2021, Yuletide Blunderbuss.
Mitt's Coffee offers you the best blend of washed Malagasy beans mixed with a sizable portion of both organic mountain Costa Rican coffee and an equal portion of dark roasted Colombian beans. This New Year's blast will help you celebrate both the 2020 holiday season as well as the arrival of 2021 and all of its promises, while being both wide awake and positive in attitude. Yuletide Blunderbuss will warm your soul with the fruity floral notes of fine African beans, while gaining rounder middle tones from the pride of Costa Rica. The roundhouse wallop is provided by the almost espresso-like intensity of the special dark roast of Colombian coffee, brought down the mountainside by proud farmers from various Colombian cooperatives. The result? The Blunderbuss. A dark coffee that will impress with its opacity. A strong coffee that will awake you with its strength holiday brew that will keep guests focused and friendly well into the night. While the flavor of the Blunderbuss is deceptively smooth, the power of this coffee makes it one to serve your house guests at holiday brunches or seasonal luncheons, or possibly to be carried in thermoses on frosty afternoon caroling adventures. The Blunderbuss packs a wallop. You'll be glad you got clobbered.
Yuletide Blunderbuss is yet another of the family of great blends from Mitt's Coffee. Be sure to try other great Mitt's blends like Caffeine-Free Oastie, Night Owl Espresso Roast, Spruce Grouse Half Calf, and Laughing Goose, the trustworthy original roast. Mitt's Coffees, the brew that flew with the great Northwest. And now, Real Adventures of the Cabin Country Outdoors Agency, Episode 3, A Cunning Plan.
Pete Ward had lost three good eating-sized bass to Jack the Ripper, but he'd also lost a well-built live box. Now, when I say well-built, I mean a live box that could handle most large game fish you'd put in a live box, but also most predators that would try to get into a live box. Pete had said it himself. He could rebuild it. He could also catch more bass and look forward to doing so. The problem here was our culprit, the destroyer of live boxes. The stringer stripper, the bait box burglar. The problem was the largest, oldest snapping turtle the Gull River had ever known. The problem was Jack the Ripper. I put out an APB at all the local bait shops and liquor stores, as well as the campgrounds and grocery stores. I tried getting the local restaurateurs to spread the information, but they all seemed to think the stories of shredded fish and mangled live boxes would be bad for business. I called the latest Ripper story into the Chamber of Commerce and posted the info on our agency homepage. I got the particulars put as a feature on GSPN at the pumps of the local gas stations. People didn't need much encouragement to talk around town about the Ripper. What bothered me most was the paranoia. Ripper sightings were happening just about everywhere, from Gull Lake to the slough across the highway from the railroad tracks. Kids were afraid to take their baths. I readjusted my hat and refilled my travel mug off the pots in the office. I was headed out the door and to the truck when the boss stopped me with an idea. I've been working for Captain Ike Martinez for several years now. The captain offered me a rapid-fire series of suggestions, and I was all ears. I tried to deal with Jack for a long time now. My best ideas were getting us nowhere.
Torgy, I understand you're going head-to-head with the Ripper.
That's right, Skip. I'm not gonna lie. Yesterday's attack was bad. People are nervous. I'm a bit light on ideas, given everything we've tried over the years.
Sorry, Torgy, at this point I need results. We've heard all the Ripper tales, we've seen his effect on the locals. I want him out of the water, for keeps. Follow?
Yes, sir, Captain. I've been working on some new angles, but I'll welcome all ideas.
I've got an idea for you, and I'll let you in on it right now.
Skip?
That turtle? Get him.
I went back out to Pete Ward's place. We talked. He hadn't finished his live box rebuild, but it was close. He was using a semi-flexible recycled plastic board to frame in the box in hopes the material would bend, not break. He showed me the big treble hook he'd baited with unwanted rough fish and thrown out overnight. The Ripper had eaten the dogfish carcasses and avoided the hooks. He'd been around too long to fall for that. Pete's idea about the dogfish on the giant treble was an old one, but it often worked. It gave me an idea that I shared with him. I'd need Pete's help on this one. Pete, have you got the time to do some fishing for me today? I've got an idea, but no time to fish the reed beds for bullheads. I need you to catch as many rubber mouths as you can land in your boat. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, sure thing, Torgy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got a plan, haven't you?
The plan was simple. I told Pete that I wanted him to catch as many bullheads and other junk fish as he could land in the boat. He'd bring the catch back to the cabin in the late morning, early afternoon, and we'd load up his rebuilt live box. Pete and I would then back off, put some lawn chairs on the bank overlooking the dock, and wait out the Ripper. Jack was anything but stupid. He knew now that the Ward dock was in active use by anglers. He knew the live box was a hot target. He also knew he could muscle his way through the sidewalls of that live box. The last thing he knew was that a targeted live box was a risky target if humans were close by. Pete Ward and I would stay 15 feet up the bank, out of Jack's way. Enough action in that live box and the Ripper wouldn't be able to stay away. One thing was different this time, however. I was done playing around. Chief Martinez had made it clear that this was the last time he'd have field agents dealing with the infamous Jack. No more baited hooks on chains or live traps. That didn't work with this monster. We'd load the live box and wait. I'd make sure I had 6 rounds in the .357. Cabin Country Outdoors agents don't carry sidearms. Often they'll have a rifle in the cab of the truck in case of large animal situations in the field. Black bear, moose, coyotes, and feral dogs. They can all cause an outdoor agent some trouble. But that was on the ground, out in cabin country. Discharging a firearm was a sidebar story of the job. It wasn't lost on me what I was proposing to do. Firearms and water don't mix. Heck, even our old children's favorite Spotty the Safety Frog will make that clear as crystal for the listener. Ricochets can kill. But the boss said bring an end to this story. With the right amount of assistance and the right amount of bait in the live well, this plan could work. I'd circulate the news around the riverfront. I'd get the message to the usual fishing groups and put the word out at the bait stores and gas stations. Today was the day to stay off that stretch of river near the Ward Place. There was serious agency business about to take place.
Join us for the next exciting episode of Real Adventures of the Cabin Country Outdoors Agency, right here on Cabin Country. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents either are products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or locales or persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental.
Another silent night, and all the pretty lights upon the tree.
Well, welcome back. I was thinking of yet another thing that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, you've got a tale to tell here, Foot.
Well, you know, it's December, so it's holiday season.
It's the holiday season.
That's right.
Yes.
And we're besieged with repetitious Christmas songs and
well,
so forth
happens.
On the radio.
Well, it happens. It has been known to happen. Other holidays as well, but certainly...
Yes.
Not to detract from anything, but there are stations that love to festoon us with holiday offerings, and your family decided to take their own approach, I understand.
Well, yeah, we have an annual, it's my wife's side of the family, an extended family party.
You bet.
That takes place in the first half of December annually. Mm-hmm. And, well, this year, of course, it turned into a Zoom party, which I'm sure many people across the world are going to enjoy Zoom holidays.
Zoom holidays.
One way or another.
You bet.
Well, the turnout for this particular party was actually pretty good. I don't even think we made last year, so I think Zoom made it kind of convenient. In fact, people that hadn't been to this this particular party were able to join.
Yeah.
Because there's a portion of the family that lives in Michigan.
Okay, sure.
So that was nice.
Michiganders. So
everybody enjoyed seeing each other, but one of the traditions of this party, the highlight, is singing Christmas carols.
Christmas carols, here we go.
So how do you think that went on Zoom?
Well, I think I have a funny feeling we're about to find out.
Yes, well, I have a little bit of a portion. Without holding anything back, it was kind of a disaster, but but everybody had a lot of fun.
Anybody take a solo?
No.
Okay. All right.
The grand finale Christmas carol.
Magnum opus.
Is the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh boy. All 12.
And even though you'd think, well, that should work because the way Zoom works is that only one speaker can speak, or in this case, sing at a time.
Belt it up.
But I think that would take practice. And not only that, but each day of the Christmas was assigned to various people, and some of them got, in other words, people from two different locations were given, say, 6 geese of a laying.
Okay.
And so when they tried to sing, it canceled each other. So it was just a disaster. So,
oh boy.
Don wants to roll a portion
Let's
of
hear that.
Well, it was everybody had a good time. They were laughing about it.
As long as people enjoyed themselves.
Yes, I would say. I mean, you know, frankly, my wife was like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm really up for sitting in for an hour in front of the computer because she does that for work every day.
I feel Molly's pain. I really. Yeah. Hey, let's play a game on Zoom. Let's do some just conversation. I'm on Zoom all day long, every work day, and some of my weekend.
No, thank you.
But if we're gonna sing, yeah.
But yeah, so it was fun. Turned out
good.
To be more
we
fun.
Had a good time with it.
This way, the drive back home, what there was none. So.
Right.
So that turned out to be pretty fun.
There it was.
I had the recorder. I couldn't resist. I had to just.
Of course not.
I didn't get any objections. I think it added to the fun.
Posterity.
But it occurs to me, as I think we mentioned before, that this is really technically the last podcast
by default
for 2020 of Cabin Country.
It's wrapping it up.
But we do have some good episodes to start off 2021.
There it is. Yes.
As we mentioned, John Munson is next in the queue.
Right. The Grand Vizier of Semisonic and new standards.
And after that, we do have an interview with Captain Dave Stricker.
Captain Dave.
An old friend of yours.
Navigator of the Great Lakes and, a fellow colleague and good friend. So he's got some great stories
and
for
us. And it was him that got us a hold of the Helmer Ockvik tapes.
Yes, indeed.
The hero or the reluctant hero.
Minnesota Commercial Fishing Museum was kind enough to proffer up those wonderful tales from Helmer Ockvik's own mouth. Yeah,
right.
To hear the man himself tell the tale.
That was a fun episode.
Indeed.
And of course, who knows where we're going to be heading with, there's some great, we'd like to visit some resorts. I just discovered
we would.
An old family resort that we went to and nobody seemed to remember the name of it. I had asked my mom and I don't know.
Gull Lake, correct?
On Gull Lake. It was on Gull Lake. And I just came across these old 1950s era black and white photos.
Oh, yes.
And some of them featured this resort. And
there it is.
I noticed on the boat.
Yeah.
It said Grenz, I think. G-R-A-E-N.
Apostrophe S.
Grenz Lodge.
Yes.
And I looked it up, and of course, I had the anthology of Minnesota resorts by Ren Holland.
Yes, the sort of the Bible the history of
It's great
lake resorts.
We'd still like to maybe reach out to Ren
for
commentary. But
body of work. There.
It's got this huge, and it's heavy. He'll admit the thing is like 5 pounds. This book of all these resorts. There wasn't a whole lot of information on Gren's resort.
Not a lot,
but. I went online to look for some history and didn't find any except for one photo posted by Ren Holland.
Yeah.
And the shot used was the exact same angle inside of like the main cabin that I have of my grandpa that I call Gramps.
Gramps.
So I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. It's Gren's.
Gramps at Gren's.
Gramps at Gren's.
Right.
I think later we had one or two trips in the 70s when I was but 4 years old, I think, and went to the same resort. I think it must, like your place, your parents' place, must have been sold off.
Sold off, individual cabins.
But we're gonna have to ride around and visit some.
See if we can't find it.
Either the remains of that, and while we're there, we'll check out some I don't know, well-established resorts or some smaller ones.
It's a plan in the works. Maybe
it's just something that's
everyday life for some of these places, how they make a go of it, and how the traditions and what they're proud of, what they're famous for.
I mean, there used to be hundreds, if
I know.
Thousands,
I know.
And now there's just a few.
They've dwindled. That is true.
Look forward to an exciting year, 2021.
Without a doubt, yeah. And then... possibly a story or two from our author friend.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Lean.
You know, as we were reading Barbara Thompson's great story, 29 Bells.
Right.
And then we heard from David Barnett about his I'd call that more of an anecdote, right? A personal anecdote.
Yeah. And we remind you, we would love to read yours.
Oh, yes.
Send them on in. Fudd, give us that email.
Email us at cabincountrypod@gmail.com.
That's right. You can
join the family.
Have part of the family. You know, become yours. We'd love to read your story. Give it life.
speaking of reading stories, it occurred to me to reach back. I emailed Mike Lehan and said, "Hey, you know, we've read a couple of stories on Cabin Country, and we forgot that you've got three. You're going on four volumes of short Cabin Country stories.
Very and these entertaining.
Are excellent.
Yes.
In fact, we need to plug it. He's not asking us to do this, but we're plugging Mike Lehan's books. He's got." I said he's working on a fourth. His first one is called Firewood Happens. Second one, The Crooked Lake. Down at the Dock. That's the second one.
Down at the Dock.
And then Crooked Lake Chronicles.
Yes, indeed.
And his latest one, he told me, is called Cabin Fever. And it's stories having to do with this year of being in a pandemic. And,
right.
And so I'm looking forward to that. But
absolutely.
These are all short, humorous, and like... funny and mostly true, as he calls them, stories of his experiences in
cabin country. If you're a cabin denizen like we all want to be, you know, we either are or we want to be, these hit the mark. I mean, he lives it. So
yeah, you can find him on Amazon, Mike Lehan.
Mike Lehan.
L-E-I-N. Wait, it's right in front of me. Good Lord, FUD. Mike Lehan, L-E-I-N.
Yes, indeed.
And... they're just great. They're, you know, it's light, fun reading, and you can just sort of open a story. And
I think I read his first book in one sitting. Yeah. I mean, I just enjoyed it. I mean, it brought me right back.
And like I said, it's an anthology of stories.
You bet.
You can just, maybe you can have it out in the outhouse. And it's like, well,
for reading.
If you're that type of person that likes to read while you're in the outhouse.
Not me.
I've just got one. All right, we'll just leave that.
Wait. Enough said.
So there we go. Yes, we're looking forward to reading and dramatizing perhaps a couple of his stories and having him on the show again.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy. This is a guy that lives, he hunts and fishes, travels. So he's a true diehard cabin country enthusiast.
An author, a hunter, a fisher person. He's doing it all and maintaining a cabin.
He's busy, and it's been hard, of course, to get together this year, but we'd like to have him on again.
Without a doubt.
But speaking of future guests, maybe we should also thank our 2020 guests this
year. Let's do that. Let's do a shout out to those listeners we've seen kind of check in from around cabin country, the greater United States, and in some cases even planet Earth, baby. We got fans all over the place, FUD, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to give them a shout out at this point. May I start with Minnesota, FUD?
Yes, please do.
A great big thank you to all our listeners in Minnesota who checked in. We've got people who've appeared as listeners from Minneapolis, St. Paul, Excelsior, Osseo, Cloquet, Brainerd, St. Cloud, Forest Lake, Eden Prairie, Lakeville, Goodhue, and Laverne.
And our neighbors to the east, Wisconsin, we have listeners in Amory, Madison, Sun Prairie, Mauston, and Sheboygan.
Home of the Sheboygan Brat. Yes, indeed, Illinois. We've got listeners in Chicago. Thank you. There are listeners in Crystal Lake, Barrington, and Hoffman Estates.
In Indiana, we've got Elkhart, Goshen, Healy, and Greenwood.
The Michiganders themselves, listening from Saginaw, Arena, and New Baltimore.
Two towns in South Dakota, Eagle Butte and Vermilion.
I think my mom's student taught in Vermilion.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not, yes, indeed. Our friends to the south of Minnesota Direct, Iowa. We've got listeners in Cresco and Council Bluffs.
Nebraska, we have Nebraska City.
Nice. In Missouri, good old Joplin.
Joplin, Missouri.
You bet.
And Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep, Louisville. We got Arkansas. We got listeners in Benton, Arkansas.
Did I say Louisville?
I think you did, but...
Oh, my apologies.
Let it down.
Maybe this is a good point to say that we apologize, or I apologize, for mispronouncing.
Jeez. There we go.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, I think we have Benton, Arkansas.
Okay, and in Texas, I know our friend Steve is down in Texas.
Oh, yes.
Leveland? Leveland.
I would have said Loveland, but...
Loveland.
I could be wrong.
Dallas, Kilgore, Waco, Lufkin... Or is it Lufkin?
Lufkin, I'd be...
Lufkin sounds better. Belleville.
There we go.
Houston and Kingwood.
And a big thanks to our Alabama listeners in Hobbs, Foley, Warren, and Montgomery.
And in Florida, Lynn Haven, Jacksonville, Ocala, DeLand, and Satellite Beach.
Wow. Thank you to our Virginia listeners in Fredericksburg, Chantilly, and Ashburn.
And thanks to our listeners in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Let's not forget Dundalk, Maryland.
And in Pennsylvania, Harrisburg and Lancaster.
New Jersey, we've got Teaneck, Lyndhurst, Irvington, Linden, and of course, Jersey City.
New York, we've got Brooklyn and the Bronx.
I love it.
Sullivan, Binghamton, and Livingston.
Right. Great state of Connecticut. We've got listeners in New Haven, North Haven, Middleton, Farmington, and Colchester.
And in Massachusetts, there's Cambridge and Andover.
New Hampshire, we've got Manchester.
Buckfield, Maine.
And Ravenna, Ohio.
Heading way out to the West Coast.
Wow, West Coast.
In California, we've got Anaheim, Irvine, Salinas, Modesto, and Tulake.
Big thanks to our listeners in Arizona and Sierra Vista.
Salt Lake City, Utah, and Bountiful, Utah.
Indeed. Denver, Colorado.
Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Sugar City, Idaho.
Boy, I like the sound of that.
Oh, I do too.
I wonder if they have Spring Grove soda there.
I would hope so.
In Sugar City, Idaho. In Oregon, we've got Eugene, Haiku, and Oregon City.
Indeed. And then in the great state of Washington, Seattle, Kirkland, Redmond, and Tacoma. And Canada here, folks.
Canada. Well, in Alberta, where our friend Barbara Thompson is from. Calgary, and also Edmonton.
And then if we go out to the east coast of Canada, in the New Brunswick area, we've got Botouche, Shediac, Truro, Stellarton, and St. John's.
Wow. And if the North American continent wasn't enough, we've got some world cabin country listeners.
Indeed, cabin country.
Well, in Mexico, I guess that's sort of technically part of that continent.
North America, sure. Yeah.
But also, where else, Bjorn?
We got listeners in France, people thinking idyllically about cabin country in Hong Kong, Belgium, Italy, Taiwan, South Africa,
Wowzers.
Of course, down under in Australia. Indeed.
Wow.
So a big thanks to all our listeners from all over the U.S.,
it's really
North American continent,
really,
and
cool.
The entire planet. We can't thank you enough for all your continued listenership, and I hope we're not letting you down.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to hear. Please consider writing in with your cabin country stories. I would love to hear cabin country tales from around the edge
of the
outback. Or, yeah, cabin country, the Bronx. It's maybe it involves leaving the Bronx and going to upstate. I have no idea. Or maybe there's something I don't know about. I mean, I've been to New York City many times and enjoyed it. I will admit I haven't thought, how do I get onto a dock?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a pier going out into, you know, but
who knows?
The great harbor there, I'm not sure, but
well, boy, we don't want to show off any ignorance about
the
geography of,
without
the,
a doubt,
of these places.
Without a doubt.
But it just goes to show that cabin country is
wherever you make it.
Widespread.
That's right. Wherever you make it, or wherever you're listening and you're hearkening back, we're just glad to have you as part of our cabin country family, and thank you so much for continuing to listen.
Well, then I guess all that's left is for us to wish everybody a
happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy yourselves.
And a new year. And
you bet.
Looking to 2021 is kind of a, well, I don't know, a happier, how would you put it? Things have been good in cabin country.
They have been good. We were just pining away before we started recording, FUD, about the good old days of actually sitting down with someone with the microphones instead of Zooming.
Right.
But we were grateful for all those great Zooms, too. And
yes.
Ideally, 2021 will find us maybe able to sit down and commune with our great friends from cabin country one-on-one. And until that time, we'll just keep doing what we do and hopefully get some stories from some of you that we can read for you and continue the interviews and bring you places maybe you hadn't gotten before. So that said, maybe it's time to start another pot of mitts.
Yes, the special holiday blend of mitts coffee.
That's right, Consider the northern lights as we look out where the dock used to be.
Right.
And in the iced over Gull Rivers.
Am I going to find the money to invest in plastic or
maybe
aluminum?
Aluminum. Indeed. nothing to listen for now but the slam of the door.
We will see you very soon.
Without a doubt. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.